Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're going to have Autry Pruitt joining us later on the show. But to start the show, it's me, Deborah Wolf, coming to you from Camp Good Dog up near Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and I'll be talking with my dear friend and long time. We've been on the radio together and other places together dealing with cats and dogs, and she's a well-established cat expert. And I think she's dipping her paw into the dog pond now. And so we'll be talking about some recent wins at the big Cat Writers Association convention, I think. Or maybe it was at the Dog Writers Association. It is February. It must have been at the Dog Writers. Dusty must be walking on the dog side now. I'll have to find out. We got news she won 2 Maxwells. I think that's the doggy one with the medallions with the dog's head in big brass. I think I got that one once. But I never won one from the Cat Writers. Got a bone to pick about that, even though I won over and over again with Dog Writers. Dusty might be a winner of both. I'm not sure. We'll find out later today. And we've got some cat questions for her, as always. We'll be taking questions live and talking about naughty dogs and terrible kitties and how you can fix your problems. So now, welcome to the show, Dusty.
Well, thank you for having me once again. You know, I love being here. I love talking to you and your audience.
Well, you know, I thought it might be a win at the Cat Writers, but that's November and this is February. That's Dog Writers. That must be a dog win for you. Congratulations.
It is. I did win at the Cat Writers in November, but yes, these are my first Maxwells. I won the best online article for behavior. And I'm very proud of that. That was an article about the quality of life scale. And there's this wonderful scale that helps you decide when to put your dog to sleep. I mean, it's just, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I've seen it. Because it does get trickier. I've done shows on this too and personally had experience where you tell yourself, okay, he can eat, he can drink, he can go to the bathroom, he's happy to see me, he plays a little. He's fine. And then 6 months later, you're saying, well, he eats well sometimes. He drinks okay. He doesn't really get out to go to the bathroom every time. He still greets me. He doesn't play at all. And then and by the time, you know, you kind of slide that line back and back and back. And then you don't even realize yourself that the dog's really past enjoying his life. So I think it helps to have that. To compare
well, and,
to.
And from what my experience, because I also won the health and behavior for Cat Writers for a similar article, except devoted entirely to cats. But if you don't mind, I'd like to tell your audience how it works so they can use it.
Oh,
should
please.
They need
yeah.
to.
Yeah, because, you know, even if you're listening now and you've got a cute little kitten or a little puppy dog, you will be amazed at how quickly 10 or 15 or 18, if you're lucky, years goes by. You know, and pretty soon that dog or cat is at the end of its life. Well, for you, it's really just a decade or so.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And the way it works, there are 7 questions, and you rate it from 1 to 10. 1 is thirst. 1 is hunger, mobility, and so you decide. Okay. He's eating. He might be a 6. You know, he doesn't eat like he used to. But, oh, he's dehydrated, so we have to give him fluids every day. Or he can't get up to go to the bathroom. Now, that's not as critical with a cat, but, you know, with a big dog, it is. You know, is there enjoying life is also one of the criteria. And so you rate them all 1 to 10. And it's wonderful because it's kind of black and white. If it's above 35, pain control is also important too. And a score below 35 is really unacceptable. That means the dog or cat has an insufficient quality of life. And
The thing is also, not only does the dog or cat start to slide and slide and slide, and so if you answer these questions, you're going to find certain things are no longer on the list that you thought were important for your decision, but also you get good days and bad days. And sometimes you don't realize, wait a minute, it's been 16 days since the last time he wanted to get up and go for a walk. Wow, I thought it was just yesterday. So it helps you kind of keep track of it.
Exactly. It also helps you determine, I'm seeing this evidence of pain. Pain can be controlled. You can go to your vet. You can get medication. You can do modifications. I had to put my little heart cat to sleep in April last year, and it was one of the toughest things I ever did. But thank God I had this scale, because in black and white I could tell her kidneys weren't working anymore. She was starting to collect fluid, and this happened over a period of 24 hours. And in 24 hours she went from a 37 to a 34, and it's like, okay. And it really helped remove a lot of the guilt. So I encourage
it's a very weird situation you get into, because you get into this situation, especially with dogs, where you know this dog would die for you. This dog would save you from a bear.
Right.
This dog would save you from a robber. This dog would do anything he could to keep you and your stuff and your kids and your house and anything you care about, anything he cares about, safe. That's his, you know, today he would die. He's like your little Klingon warrior in your house, you
Absolutely.
Know, fighting for your team. And so you think to yourself, well, he'd do anything for me. Surely I can give him pills every day. He'd do anything for me. I'll give him injections twice a day. He'd do anything for me. I'll buy the special food. He'd do anything for me. So I don't mind getting a sling and carrying his back end and helping him get out and in the door, even though it hurts my back, helping him get in and out my car, helping him alleviate himself. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And then you get to the point where, you know what? If the roles were reversed, your dog would probably help you end your life. He wouldn't keep doing this, I don't think. Like, there's got to be some stage where it flips and you owe him some pain-free relief. You owe him some dignity. Because I think we sort of forget that all these measures keep him on way longer than he would have naturally. So he's not
Absolutely.
Really naturally around anymore. And I know that's really hard to accept. It's so hard, Dusty.
It's very difficult. But like I said, for me, looking at this this quality of life scale, I was able to see this is no longer a kind thing to do to keep her alive. And, you know, the truth is, if these animals were in the wild, they wouldn't be continuing to suffer, because nature takes care of that.
Yeah, a predator.
Yeah,
or they would have starved. I mean, it's brutal, but it's over. Okay, so we only have a minute left in this segment. We're keeping Dusty online for the next one, so we can talk about this some more, Dusty.
Okay.
If you want to call in and ask us your question, it doesn't have to be an end-of-life question or a palliative care question. It could be, though, or it could be about dogs or cats on any level, especially training. We're going to have Autry on the show later, and he's a political guy, and he likes to think about the bizarre and the strange, so you're welcome to call in about that. 1-888-627-6008 if you want to talk about your cat question, cat or dog problem, or just anything animal or pet related today on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I'm here with award-winning Dusty Rainbolt and me, Deborah Wolf, and we'll solve your pet problems today. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Anytime you're near, I love you.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purspraypet.com. That's purspraypet.com. purspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
And anytime you're near.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Okay, Dusty, I didn't mean to have to interrupt you, so let's keep talking about that end of life.
The quality of life scale, yes. It was actually devised by an amazing veterinarian, an oncologist named Alice Villalobos. And anyway, I just can't recommend it enough. If you've had problems putting pets to sleep and dealing with the guilt that, of course, comes with that, because, as you said, we ought to be able to help them go to the bathroom and help them do this, and it really does help alleviate a lot of the guilt that comes with humane euthanasia.
Well, Dusty, we also have some questions for you today, and we have a question from someone who wants to know, is my cat stupid? That's how they ask. Because the cat apparently had no problem with the cat door in their old house. And now they've moved. And it has no problem with the cat door in the new house going out. But coming in, yeah, but coming in, even late at night, even when it's freezing cold, even when it's snowing, it sits at the back door and meows. And they can't, if they go to the back door, where the cat door is, at one of the other back doors, it will follow them around and then not even go through, even if they've tried toys, they've tried treats, they've tried all the things they used originally when they first trained her to use the cat door, which they said was really easy. She almost taught herself. And now this cat might be stupid. You know what? Before we answer the question, let's welcome to the show Autry Pruitt. Welcome to the show, Autry. We're talking about a possibly stupid cat. Are you there? Well, I don't hear Autry. Dusty?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, let's keep talking about the possibly stupid cat.
A possibly stupid cat.
And we'll see if Autry joins us. Is this cat stupid? What happened?
Well, the interesting thing is I had that same situation with my dog. So she would sit out there. She would go through the cat door and go potty, and then she'd stand at the door and bark and bark and bark and bark. But what I would recommend, no, I don't think the cat's scared, but I don't think the animal associates the other side of the door with that little tunnel that gets them to where they're going. What I would do is I would leave the door in an open position and let the cat get used to going in and out. Give him a treat from, let him go outside, and then give him a treat, encourage him to come through the door with it already open. And at some
okay,
point...
Okay, so it's, I've seen it. They took a picture of the cat going out the door as proof that it really does go out the door. And it's not a solid door. It's, do you know how when you go to a grocery store, sometimes the back of the shop has these plastic giant flaps on it? It's a few of those. So the cat sort of parts the flaps and walks out, and then through another series of flaps. But the thing is, it will do it to get out all the time. You hear it go flip, flip. They say they hear it go out, and then it sits at the door and just meows.
Well, I would still leave it open and let him get used to going in and out, encourage him with treats. I do know the door. I actually bought one because in Texas we have a problem with bugs, and the cats tend to leave the door open. Somehow it doesn't always go down, and I bought that. It didn't work on my particular door. But, you know, just leave it open. Let him get used to going in and out. And then maybe set it up where only one of the magnets
is
holding.
So it's partially open, so it's less menacing. But you got to get her going. If she's not even going to try it, Like, she's going exiting every time, knows it works. Uh-huh. She exits one flap. I'm just trying to figure this out from her perspective. She exits one flap, sort of half her body's in the middle, half her body's on one side, half her body's on the other. I'm wondering if she's scared about what she's going to encounter, if something's scared or coming in. Like, I'm wondering if it's not.
I was wondering the same thing. Or another thing could be, you know, if you have momentum and you're going, it's on one side of the door. It's not on both sides of the door. So
no, there's a flap on both sides. There's a flap on both sides. They showed me her butt going in one and her head coming out the other. It's quite a funny picture, actually. They must have had two people or they photographed it at different times. I don't know. But it reminds me of that Hey Lolly Lolly song with the man with his feet in the kitchen and his head in the hall. You know, she's got her head outside and her bum inside and half of her's in the wall. I mean, I could see why she'd be scared of it completely. But to be willing to go through it all the time, regularly, one direction only, is odd to me. Through two of these, I don't know, though. But, okay, so open it.
But it could be a displaced fear. I mean, as you said, something could have startled her as she came in, maybe another cat or a kid or whatever startled her as she came in the house. But I would start by treats and just leaving it open so she can come in and out and not have to address the door at first. And then once she's more confident with that, then start closing it one magnet or snap or whatever at a time.
Okay. So that's our advice.
We want to hear a progress report. If that doesn't work, we'll keep working on it.
Should they not let her in via the door, or is that too mean?
No, you know what? That's tough because if she's truly fearful, then that's kind of not kind. I think opening it up and offering absolutely the best reward ever, and maybe even withholding food, not like for a meal. Do it before a meal when she's hungry and inspired, and give her like little treats of turkey as she comes in as a reward, not the junkie hard treats, unless she's really into that, but. You know,
what treats? Whoa, junky heart treats. Are you talking about those ones in all the commercials where the cats like fly across swimming pools and up apartment buildings? And they're my daughter's favorite commercials because they're YouTube cat videos. These cats do amazing things to get them. Is that what you're talking about? Those things?
Well, you know what? I really personally, buying a low sodium turkey and serving it in like pea size chunks. They will sell their soul. They will sell your soul. occasionally I'll find a cat that won't go for that, but for the most part they do like the deli turkey and they will perform tricks and it's just a matter of giving her some kind of a treat that is more valuable than the fear, and then making it as easy as possible and then gradually making it more difficult, and at some point she hopefully will go, I can do that.
We have to go to another break, Dusty. So before we go, would you like to tell people about Kittens for Dummies or anything else you'd want them to find right away?
Okay, well, they can go to my website, which is DustyCatWriter, WRITER.com. And I am the author of Kittens for Dummies, the famous dummy series, and Cat Wrangling Made Easy, Maintaining Peace and Sanity in Your Multi-Cat Household.
That's one of my favorites. Whenever I'm asked, what's your favorite cat book? That's the one I give. Because I learned so much. I really did. And I am a multi-cat household. Oh, boy. In fact, I'll give you some progress report on Not My Cat 3, I believe. His name is Pedro. We used to call him Chow Mein, but we found out his real name is Pedro. He's got an interesting story. But he gave, he came with, he just caused a lot of excitement the other night. And I'll explain it later when we get back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
Scratch it. dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it. And anytime you're near, I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. You know, Dusty, before I tell you about Pedro and his appearance the other night, I wanted to just mention, maybe you saw it too, I was kind of extolling the virtues of dogs a little while ago, saying, you know, when it comes to euthanasia and what you owe your animals at the chain, you know, at the end of their life, that that was such a high duty when it comes to a dog, because you know your dog would lay down his life for you. Well, I've been corrected. They said, didn't you, just a couple of weeks ago, and they're right, I did, talk on air about a cat who protected a child, a toddler.
Absolutely.
From a pit bull. And I did talk about that. And I have also talked about in the past how a cat woke up an entire household, despite the man of the house yelling at it and kicking it outside and you know, really not listening to it. It insisted, and the house was on fire. So it does happen. What do you think? Did you see that cat and that pit bull, that footage on YouTube, Dusty?
That was Tara. And yes, it was quite an interesting story. The little boy was outside on his tricycle. His mother was also outside. She was out of the view of the camera, but still not close enough to be able to run to him. But the dog targeted the child. You can see that he actually started smelling the kid and came around the car and pulled him off the tricycle. And that cat turned around and went after him. He let the kid go, and she kept chasing him. It was
funny. And then she ran under the car just in case, right?
Yeah.
She knows this is a big bluff. This is bravado, big time.
Once the dog was running away, she did run back to check on the kid, and then she went under the car. So she's like,
I saw that. But you know what? She was also in a new ambush position. So all claws and teeth. Sometimes people don't really get the body language of cats. I know you and I have gone through this before on air, but when a dog lies on its side, all spread out and sleeping, it is being very relaxed. Its weapon is its mouth. That's its only weapon. And mm-hmm. if its eyes are closed and it's asleep and it's breathing deeply and it's lying on its side, that is relaxed posture for a dog. But a cat lying on its side can look relaxed to our human dog eyes, but it's not, because it's armed and deadly with all the claws, right, Dusty? I know you explained this to me ages ago, but maybe my listeners have never heard about this, how you read that the cat is maybe not so innocent lying there.
Well, and this happens in multi-cat households, or I guess even multi-pet households, where one pet wants to go to the end of the hall to use the litter box or eat or whatever, and the cat is leisurely laying in the middle of the floor, and yes, he's laying there on his side, but what the other pets know is that that cat has brought all weapons to bear, and all the claws,
totally.
All the teeth.
Yeah. Phasers armed for you Trek people.
Yeah, set to maim. But
exactly.
So if you see, it looks very cute, but it's actually quite an assertive position. So if you see your cat laying there and blocking the other, he's actually blocking other pets from access to the end of the hall. Or he may do that near the food bowls or the water bowls or the litter box.
Or you. For attention.
You may even think,
well, no, he's my fat kitty. He just loves everybody. And he's done with me. I already petted him. Yeah, he's done with you. That doesn't mean he wants his rival to get you. He may be strategically placing himself exactly where the resource, whatever it is, mm-hmm. is out of reach of everybody else. So if you have litter box problems, and that it really is, I think, Dusty, for me anyway, when I'm on the radio or doing a live show, even a dog show, the thing I get most asked from cat owners is litter box correction problems. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes she uses it, sometimes she doesn't, or they start telling me where the cat uses it. And a lot of times in multi-cat household, this is what the problem is. The cat wants to use the litter box, but sometimes the bigger, stronger, nastier, quicker, younger cat is right in the way saying, you can't get by here today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so if you cluster your litter boxes or your food and water bowls in one area, you know, the rule of thumb is you're supposed to have one litter box per cat plus one. However, if you cluster, you know, four cats, five litter boxes, if you put them all together, then you're just saving that dominant cat the trouble of having to protect all of them. So that means he truly can keep everybody away.
Yes, I know. And you know, oftentimes that cat does get a reputation of being sweet because he has no conflict. He's in charge of everything. The ones who are at conflict that you will see are lower down in the ranks, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, the ones that tend to cause more fights are the kind of the mid-level managers because they're jockeying for position. But the, you know, the guys at the top and the bottom are generally, you know, they know where they are. They're usually not the ones. And another thing, I know you love this fact because it's you don't generally read it. When there is a cat fight, most of the time it is the cat making all the noise who is the victim in the altercation. That's a defensive mechanism.
Oh, that's not why I love that. I love that fact because it's true, but because it's also true with dog fights. The dog making the noise, his mouth is making noise, it's not biting. The dog biting is too busy biting to make all that noise. You know, and that really, he's not barking. He might be growling underneath the bite, but he can't open his mouth to go, blah, 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 like the one who's going off. That's the victim. He's saying, help, help, help me, everybody. You know.
Well, it's kind of funny because we have a funny little dog. She's part Chinese crested, part terrier. And not the brightest bulb in the packet, but she is awesome. She is so sweet. She loves her cats. And anytime there's a conflict with the cats and somebody's screaming, she wants to break it up. Well, the problem is, instead of going after the guy that's causing it, she's going after the one that's making the noise.
Yeah.
It's like, no, yes. No, don't, not him, that one. So anyway,
and that's,
we don't,
that's the problem with all that noise, because it does drop, well, your dog is trying to peacemake, but it will draw predators. Anytime you act wounded and upset and loud, you're going to draw people go, oh, you got a problem? Maybe I can eat you right now. You
exactly.
know, so it's really not a good strategy out there. These cats have bad strategies. I don't know. There's a cat I know who's so used to the fact that the dog it lives with is a herding dog, a dog who's meant for cattle or sheep or goats or whatever, and will not hurt a thing, that this cat, oh, Dusty, it's hard to watch. And it's just playing, but it hangs on teeth and nails and rides the dog around like by the scruff of the neck. If the dog's wearing a bandana, uh-oh, that's a handle. You know, like, it's just, and the dog's like, go left, go right, go left, go right, you know, because that's all the dog wants to do is move stuff around. So, oh my goodness, it's hard to watch, but I don't think the dog minds. I think it alleviates his boredom. I think they're best buddies in a weird kind of way, you know?
Yeah, it's fun because when we got, we normally let all our little foster cats go to new homes, but we have one cat, her name is Emily, and she came as a bottle baby. And we had to keep her because she's a dog toy. And the dog will push her. It's like she has no bones. She'll just lay there on the floor, and the dog pushes her all around. It's kind of like mopping the floor, you know, dust mopping the floor. But we tell the dog no and pick up the cat, but Emily would jump back down on the floor. So if she's jumping on the floor, we know, you know, she's actually enjoying what I would
Well,
enjoy,
that's the thing. I tried to stop the cat from picking on the dog, but the dog goes right over it, like almost wants it. It rolls on the ground, kind of nudging the cat. You know, so sometimes it's beyond us to figure out. We're going to come back with Dusty. I'm going to tell her about Pedro's little visit the other night. And, yeah. And also, maybe talk a little more about fostering cats. Because there are people out there who really wish they could have a cat or a dog, but they think, you know what, I'm already 60, I'm already 70, I'm already 50, I'm going to be retired soon, I'm going to be traveling soon. Maybe a temporary cat is just the thing for you. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be talking to Dusty coming up.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and that means me, Deborah Wolf, at Camp Good Dog, where some of the dogs misbehave some of the time, and I have to train them. And we're talking to Dusty Rainbolt, and she's got so much going on, including a new award for dog work, as well as lots of credit and praise and fame for cat work. So we've got our cat expert on the line and our dog expert on the line. And we can both solve cat and dog problems. But despite that, I still have a personal cat-dog problem for you today, a little later in the show. I do. Because you know what? We can all use a little advice. It's like the shrink who has to go to a therapist himself once in a while. And my animals, they put up with a lot, you know, and they're trained for a lot. And sometimes training dogs who don't like cats to get along with cats can have a negative effect on my cats, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So my animals kind of have a harder time than most. We'll get to that in a second, but I want to talk about fostering. I said before the break that sometimes people are getting to a stage in their life where they're going to travel or retire, or they feel like maybe a 10, 20 year commitment isn't on. You can always get a senior pet, or fostering might be the way to go. And also for students, for people in housing that does allow pets, but maybe you're not ready to make that kind of long-term commitment, you could do a lot of good. So maybe we can talk about that just a bit, Dusty?
Well, that would be awesome. And I just wanted to say also the other award, Maxwell, I won was for my article, 10 Reasons to Foster a Shelter Dog. So we are definitely talking about my favorite topic ever is fostering and saving pets.
Okay, well, let's have some of those reasons.
Okay, well, first and foremost, you are saving a life. I mean, there's no question. Very few shelters have room to take care of special needs animals or, you know, older animals that may be running out of time. They've already been there 5 days or 6 days. They're a magnificent pet, but, you know, nobody's fallen in love with them. Some animals come in and they're terrified. I mean, my goodness, I can't imagine all of a sudden being thrown into a jail, not knowing what you did. You know, you were at home yesterday, and now all of a sudden you're in jail, and it smells bad, and there are other people who haven't bathed, and you're going, wow.
Oh, yeah, and
wow.
Everybody else is afraid. There's a smell of fear and sickness.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just
it's
terrifying.
And it echoes, and all the things these wonderful places do to keep it clean and that are necessary, like hard surfaces and bleaching the floors and all this, it does make it loud. It is hard on a pet.
And so all of a sudden they're there. There's no reason in their mind why they're there. And so they go to the back of the cage, and they're just terrified. Well, I would be too. So, you know, some of these pets, you take them into a home. They're living in a home environment. You know, there are kids, there are cats, there are, you know, the doorbell's ringing, the phone's ringing, the dishwasher's going. And the animal is learning to be in a home environment. And whether cat or dog, it doesn't really matter. It's very helpful. And like Deb said, if you want to travel, if you're a retired person and you don't want the expense of a pet, you can take them for a short period. And
well, you know what else, though? With dog foster and cat foster here anyway, and many, many places, say you travel twice a year and you're gone for 3 months or something like this, as long as you know your schedule, they'll coordinate it with another volunteer. So the pet, you don't have to worry about paying for a kennel or pet sitting or whatever for this foster animal. They'll coordinate too. So that,
absolutely.
You know, that, yeah, and the same with a vet care. If it gets sick while you're taking care of it, you're not paying for that. So you're part of the you're part of the solution in giving your home and your time. That's all that's expected. You never get a pet that free. You don't. You always have to pay in case something goes wrong. You always have to pay for them if you go away. So this is pretty good.
It is pretty good. And another thing I like to say, and I really encourage everybody who has dogs and cats, please, please, please spay and neuter them. They're going to be healthier. They're going to be better pets. And, oh, yeah, I know a lot of people want to share this wonderful miracle of birth with their children. Well, fine, do that. Contact the shelter. They get dogs and cats in all the time that are just on the cusp of giving birth, and your children can enjoy that. But you're saving a life, because a lot of times if they get pregnant moms in, they euthanize them.
What else? Right now, if you really want to see a puppy being born, go to DeborahWolfOnline.com. I have a video there from a couple of years back. Yeah, I mean, there are breeders who take the time to do that because kids want to see. But I don't want to see kids with the unwanted puppies or the parents parked at the side of the road with bags of puppies next to a pond. And I've seen that. I've seen bags. Actually, it was kittens. It wasn't puppies, it was kittens.
That's exactly right.
And I had
right.
to take
but
them all, and they all had worms, and they all had ear mites, and they all had everything
right.
you could think of, fleas, and it was horrible, and it took forever to get them well enough to go to their homes, and that shouldn't be happening. If you really want to see it, it's online, or, like Dusty's saying, get a hold of the rescue places in your neighborhood, and they'll help. They'll coordinate. They might even be willing to do some kind of online hookup with your school, you know, because it's pretty exciting stuff. It's pretty beautiful to see the birth. Yeah.
That's true. And, you know, again, you are saving a life because these are often the first ones euthanized. And,
well, and you know what else, though? If you're that interested, if that's your specific interest, this is the number, probably the most urgent need there is when someone turns in a female cat or a female dog that's already pregnant and about to give birth, and it's too tense for them to give birth at the shelter. Not only that, but there's no way to vaccinate their newborn babies
exactly.
at that age. And so they really need to go to a foster home. So if you really want to see kittens being born or puppies being born, you won't have to find homes for these. You just have to be there for them for a little while. And that dog, you may end up keeping the mama, because you'll be surprised how wonderful your connection with her will be.
Absolutely, and that's how I got into this in the first place. A friend of mine called me. It was a snowy day in Dallas, which we don't get many of those, or we didn't used to anyway. And she said, somebody's moved from our apartment complex and left a cat out in the snow. Well, of course, I felt terrible about this poor little cat. And after I agreed to take her, she said, oh, yeah, there's only one little problem. She's a little pregnant. So here I took this little
I know
kitty.
Myself, Dusty, there's no such thing as a little pregnant.
Well, that's exactly right. And she was not a little pregnant. She was really, really pregnant. And I had no connections to rescue groups or whatever. She had the kittens. She was the most wonderful mom. It was, honestly, I didn't even like cats back then. And this mother cat.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know. This mother cat did such a nice job of taking care of her kittens. And I joined one of the rescue groups, and we had to take them to Adopt-a-Pets in the 105-degree weather. And it was, it was a wonderful experience because I learned about the need for foster homes. And I kept two of them. One of them lived to be 20.
Wow, that's
Mom
a
found
long time.
Everybody got adopted. But it was really eye-opening, and I would not trade that experience for anything. And it also
there's some really good organizations that let you follow through. You get to see pictures of the cat or the dog in the new home and how they're doing. And, you know, it's not as hard to give them up as you might think. We have to go to another break. We'll be back with one more segment. Only one more segment. So I'll start by telling you about Pedro. Yes. The other night, this is not Pedro, but the other night I woke up in the morning with a cat biting my hand and scratches all over both hands. And I thought, if you were a dog, they would put you down, cat. Okay, well, we'll find out how we can fix that so I don't wake up like this anymore, Dusty. And one cat expert to another got a problem with my rescue kitties. On Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, I will also tell you about Pedro and his nighttime visit. I just saw him this morning, too.
Aww.
He's definitely moving in. Okay, so stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And anytime you're near, I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I'm talking with Dusty Rainbolt, well-established author and former president of the Cat Writers Association, and recently a winner through the Dog Writers Association of America for two pieces online, one about foster pets and the other about end-of-life issues and the scale of care in that stage. So we're talking about something about Pedro the cat who lives next door. He's had this weird little odd history with me. I got given a cat scratch, and then found out in a really odd way. I've told the story on air before, but it's a long story. Found out who the owner was and found out from the owner that this cat scratch I ended up with in my house happens to belong to the cat that he had to gift to his son, who happens to live next door to me. Anyway, I've had this cat visiting me well before I ever got the cat scratch, and I was calling him Not My Cat 3. And so I started calling him Chow Mein because that's what my kids called him. He looks vaguely Siamese, sort of, but he's long-haired. Anyway, so now his name's been changed because his real name is Pedro, and Pedro visits all the time, a couple times a day. So last night, I'll see if you can figure out what was happening. I sure couldn't until the next day. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I hear pretty much all my cats, maybe six of them, five of them, on my bed, which is not usual, all on my foot of my bed. All alert and awake, again, not usual. One's underneath, I can hear her. And they're all sort of talking in a really muted, weird way. They're saying, brr, brr, and mar, mar, and weird sort of ducky noises. I'm thinking, what is going on here? And I sort of sit up in bed and not, you know, and then it all kind of mellows out. And then I look and I see Pedro standing in the doorway of my room. Now, they've accepted him way before I did, so I don't know what's going on with this. He's their friend. And then I go back to sleep. Okay, so Dusty, let's approach the detective in you. Can you figure out what was going on?
Wow, not a clue.
No? Well, it's a sad, sad thing, but we have spring here right now, and so in the morning, there were feathers everywhere. So I think Pedro brought us a hostess gift.
Oh, isn't that a sweet thing?
Yeah, thanks, Pedro. Apparently, Pedro knows how to use my cat door. So that lady with the cat who can't use the cat door, stupid cat, bring it over to my house. It seems every cat in the universe knows how to use my cat doors. And there doesn't seem to be anybody. None of my cats seem to say, hey, we live here, get out. Why is that? What's going on with that, Dusty? Why are my cats like open house cats?
Well, apparently Pedro is part of their clouder. I mean,
he is he?
You know, they don't have the same definition that we do. I mean, you know, you have your cats and your neighbor has her cat, but it sounds like as far as they're concerned, he's just part of the group. So, you may actually have another cat.
Yeah, I better tell Not My Cat 1 and Not My Cat 2 to move on over because Pedro's on the scene.
We had a funny situation like that. We have a cat fence, so our cats don't leave the yard, and we've only had one incident where a cat has gotten in, and it was my birthday, and I was depressed because I was another year older, and I'd been crying, and my husband's like, what do I do? And then he walks in the bedroom, and he said, there's a strange cat in our bedroom. And I said, what do you mean there's a strange cat? Well, I walk in, and there's a, we call it the circle of cats, and it usually means there's a piece of prey. But there's this big, huge, unneutered orange cat, and he is cowering, and all of my cats have encircled him. And he's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here. They weren't hurting him, but it was really intimidating.
No, but he couldn't get out because of your cat fence. He had no chance. He came in and he couldn't get out.
No, this was in the bedroom, and they were encircling him. He was, you know, he was like in the middle of a sacrifice circle. So I grabbed him, threw him in the upstairs, and took him the next day to have him neutered because if he can get in my house. Anyway, it was really funny because I let him go. I think he was afraid. He never came back. I think he was afraid of what else I might want to cut off.
But, okay, so if you're out there and your cat has balls and it goes missing and it comes back without them, Dusty is your neighbor.
Could be. Of course, I know a lot of people that do that.
I did that once to my neighbor. My neighbor had a cat, and I thought I had the cat. I called it Alfie. This is when I lived in the city. Or no, I called it Marmalade, and she called it Alfie. And I can't remember which one of us had it neutered, but one of us did, and the other one figured it out. That's how we figured out we were both dealing with this cat. It was so funny. Sometimes, I mean, a tag goes a long way. I know we microchip and tattoo and all that, but sometimes a tag really helps people figure out that that's yours and that that cat is owned and vaccinated, that dog is owned and vaccinated. It's not always easy to get a cat to wear a collar, but before we get to that, I want to ask you, this thing about the cat waking me up by biting my arms, my wrists, and my hands until I actually wake up, and then I have scratches all over them. Okay, once I wake up, I move her, not in a mean way, but not in a lovely way, off the bed, and she seems to just give up. I don't make the mistake of going and feeding her or caressing her or playing with her or anything like that. But do I have to just lock her out of the bedroom entirely to avoid this new fun kitten wake up?
Oh, boy. Well, I have a method, and I've had more people tell me this is wonderful, but it's got consequences. Whenever a cat is obnoxious in the middle of the night, I plug in I have the vacuum cleaner on, and I plug it in, and that frightens them. Of course, it may also frighten your other cats, so that's the unintended consequence.
Oh, and wake up the children who have to get to school the next day.
Well,
I'm going to do the straight march break. That's funny.
But you know, it's only
going to happen a couple of times. Maybe my hair dryer. Maybe something like a hair dryer that it won't necessarily wake the kids in their rooms, but I could just, because they don't like those kinds of noises. They definitely don't.
Yeah, so the hair dryer is another option. But again, you know, it might upset the other cats. But
and
we've done
me
that
up
two or three
completely.
Times. Yes. Yeah.
Right? I'll be totally awake after that. Like, that's just not going to be a good night for me.
Yeah, but you know what? It might prevent that at a later date. I mean, you know, if you do that two or three nights, then it's going to stop because they don't like that. So give it a try.
Right. I'm going to plug it in right near my bed, right on my nightcap, last or in the morning. Cool air. I bet she'll just skedaddle. Okay, I hope she... Now, I'll be calling back saying, well, now my cat peed the bed. It got so scared. Okay, hopefully not. All right, so... Okay, my cat problem solved. I guess that covers it for my cat problems. What about when you have cats that you've used to train dogs to be nice, which I have, but then the cats get too bold? And that's a situation I'm having right now. One of my rescue kittens will follow me anywhere on the farm, anywhere she hears my voice. And she just expects me, like her, you know, giant mom, you know, her big human mama, to protect her from all the dogs. And unfortunately, I guess I've been doing that, right? By making them behave.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I do to get her to stay away from the dogs? I've had leashed ones scare her when other people are with them, but that doesn't seem to hit the message.
Well, you know, you might. Now, do I understand that she's actually being assertive with, she's following the dogs and getting upset when they approach her?
No, sometimes she gets scared and hides or runs off, but mm-hmm. sometimes she puffs up. And even when she gets scared and runs off, she comes back. She doesn't take it as, ooh, I better have, you know, she just thinks, I'll take care of her. It'll be fine. You know?
Well,
yeah.
As long as the dogs aren't bothering her, if they're not being assertive.
Oh, they are. No, they are, though. There are some that, you know, really are, and she has to run for it. And I really don't want her following me everywhere. I don't want her being, my other cats don't go anywhere near the dogs, you know, unless it's like in the house with me in a calm. But this one, she just seems to think she has like, you know, protection from a higher authority. She's ignoring them and everything. She's just very full of attitude. I don't know. This is a tough one, and we've run out of time, Dusty. So I'll have to ask you this the next time I'm on air. I'll try a few things and let you know what I try with her. Right now I've got my oldest dog that doesn't behave well with cats when I'm not around, has access to the yard. So hopefully he'll chase her a little bit in his old way, and she'll get away and figure it out. But I wouldn't put my youngest cat chaser anywhere near her right now because she would not run quick enough. And it's worrying me. This is not how cats should behave with dogs. It's like I set her up for this, I think. I feel bad about it.
Well, we'll work on this.
Okay. We'll stay tuned, and we'll come back with that and more on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we'll be training your cats and your dogs in the future. Send us your emails. If there's anyone you'd like us to talk to or any topics you'd like us to cover or any questions you have, we'll solve them for you on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. If you want to see some of the dogs at Camp Good Dog or anything else I'm up to, go to DeborahWolfOnline.com. Thanks, everybody. Until next week, be good to your animals.
I'm your doggy.
I'm